You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to TraceMinerals.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace.
Keep up with it.
How am I supposed to know how you want to conduct the program?
You're just making stuff up.
Something's going to hit the something.
You go, wow, what happened?
Silence! Lay down!
Do you have somewhere to be?
I've traveled all across the fabric of space-time.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
I'm so far from home, a cow out on the roam. I'm all alone. Lions I must deceive, and you would not believe. They painted eyes on my butt cheeks.
They did.
Ass looks like a face. My ass looks like a face. It's such a cow disgrace. My ass looks like a face.
Hold on a second. I'll make sense of this. So Africa is trying to save the cows from being eaten by the lions, so they're painting eyes on their asses.
Oh,
and this
okay.
Is supposed to
ass, yeah, so thus you have ass looks like a face.
It's supposed to confuse the
It confuses the lions. Yeah. The
does
ass looks like a face.
Does it?
But aren't lions like a species kind of in need of hunting and food? Cause
yes, they like, I'm sure, who doesn't like a good cow if you're a lion?
Yeah, right?
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, so the lions are eating the cows. So the theory is, yeah,
hands.
So, right, because then they think they're being watched by the cows.
Oh, it's like the threat stare. It's the spots that you have, like moths and butterflies in the back of tigers.
Yes, Valerie. Yes.
I'm getting it.
Okay.
Well, I'm waiting for like the, you know, BBC Earth documentary where they talk about lions approaching a cow and then turning around because of the giant eyes made out of painted on with a Sharpie on the butts of these cows.
Okay. Speaking of butts and asses, and let's talk about Fox News. So former Fox News host Gretchen Carlson, yeah, that's right, former. She's out.
Right. Oh, she is.
Yes, they canned her ass. Is suing network boss Roger Ailes for sexual harassment. She says she was fired because she refused to sleep with him. Gretchen left Fox News last month after her contract expired. In addition to trying to get all up in that, Ailes also allegedly ogled Gretchen, asked her to turn around so he could see her ass, and made comments about her figure. She
Did
also
have eyes painted on it. Is the question?
I don't know, right? Ass like a face.
That would have turned him off if he'd be like, "Oh, hey, hang on, I didn't see those eyes.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry."
It winked at me.
Let me renew your contract.
Yeah,
how rude of me. Hang on, wait. Nope, that's not Gretchen Carlson. That is that's a Hall & Oates song.
No, that's Kimberly Guilfoyle, for Christ's sake. I still don't know how her and Gavin Newsom ever got married. You know, they were ever together. I just did. Just
I've
no comprende.
About Gavin
I just.
What's he doing? Is he still lieutenant governing?
Yeah. He's the pod initiative guy. Okay. Yeah. So she was pushed out because she complained about the treatment of women in the newsroom by male co-workers. Gretchen says she was demoted a few years back when she bitched about degrading behavior from Ailes and other men. While other women who played the game were treated better and even promoted. Ailes issued a statement saying that Gretchen is just retaliating against Fox for not renewing her contract and that her ratings were, quote, disappointingly low.
But how many times did the statement have the word broad in it? This broad's
No.
Complaining
I'm,
again.
Stand by. Daddy has the montage on the way.
Ooh, excellent.
Yes. Okay. But her attorneys say at least 10 other women have contacted their firm wanting to talk about how Ailes treats them. It's all tits and ass on that channel. Come on.
Are they the ones that did the sweater thing? Made the woman put the sweater on, or was that just local? That was just local network.
No. We're talking about Fox News.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's Gretchen Carlson, and this is a montage of Gretchen Carlson's co-host being sexist on Fox and Friends.
Ooh.
So Steve Doocy is involved in this, too, and Brian Kilmeade, I don't know who that guy is, But I know who Ducey is. But, okay, so let's take a listen to the montage, and then we'll decide whether there's harassment going on.
You know, I was at Liberty last night, and some guy came up to me and said, I saw you on Fox and Friends this morning. Is Gretchen as cute in person as she is on TV?
And what did you answer, America?
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Look at her today. Beautiful dress. You look wonderful.
All women should be reading bra stories.
Right.
But then again, some men are experts at bra.
You learned that in Broadcasting 9. Bra stories, defer to the babe.
Doesn't waxing hurt?
It does. She looks at me for that.
We'll try that on an upcoming episode of Fox and Friends.
Do you like a woman masseuse or a male masseuse? Just so I know.
Oh, my God.
Not on TV.
I'm not
going
to. You know what? Now, Laura, now you know what I go through. Right, would you like to correct yourself on that other talking point about men being dominant?
Oh, we don't have any time. I wish I did. We're running over.
Okay, because HR's on the phone because you called me a skirt.
Yeah, that's. I apologize.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Okay.
I got to read that manual again. It was the only sexist person that came on here and made you laugh. All right?
Well, other than sit next to you every day.
Right, that's true. I'm not.
What?
I'm having fun with it.
You're a just sexist.
Yes.
Okay.
I jest that I'm sexist.
Just in time.
I think we should read the headlines.
I think it's just you.
Okay.
What a douchebag that guy is.
Guilty?
Looking at me saying guilty?
I don't know.
Oh, guilty. I thought guilty.
Okay.
It's self-incriminating.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was playing along, but I have to tell you something. So this is show business. So the show always has to go on. That doesn't mean that you have to like the person or like what they're saying.
Right.
Yeah. So when she was throwing words like HR in there, those were little hints. Knock it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you could hear the way she was.
Right. Right.
Because she called me a skirt. You could hear the actual anger.
And by the way, it is news, but it is show business, especially when it's Fox. Fair and balanced. Yeah. The leg cam is fair and balanced. That's the only thing that's fair and balanced. Oh, yes. A couple years ago, a reporter from NPR pointed out that Fox News actually uses a leg cam, allegedly, on some of its shows, which purposely sets up a spy, is set up to spy on female panelists' legs underneath the table.
One of the things that I learned, it just didn't happen to make the cut in the book, but there's a camera that they have, and what they do is basically I'm told this is absolutely true. They sort of assort the women who are going to be on, because there's a slightly rotating cast of characters, although they're really some fixtures, by basically the degree of attractiveness, and particularly the degree of attractiveness for the legs. And I believe it's the seat on the front right where, having arranged this hierarchy, they put the woman with the best legs there, and they have a camera that goes directly for the legs. Hmm. And so essentially they have what they call the leg cam, and that is to accentuate the sleekness of design of that particular person on air. So if you're asking whether attractiveness is a part of the formula, I would say you bet.
You bet.
All right. Well, first of all, why is it not called Gam Cam? That's a much better name.
Right. Branding.
It's staring you right in the face.
And if Hillary wanted to be called the Cankle Cam?
But I love too, I don't know who that author was, but I love the fact that this story of
David Folk and
pretty significant
from NPR.
You know, sexism is like, this didn't make the cut of the book. Like, there was enough to fill the book.
Yeah, that's good stuff, though.
This didn't even make it in. That's how much other stuff made it into that book.
Yeah. All right.
Is there a Gam Cam here? Because I would have worn shorts if I had.
Gam Cam? No.
Is there a Gam Cam set up for me? I'm going to take a look.
No Gam Cam.
That's
in
what I'm
here.
Sure they say no
But
too.
They do it. I mean, Guilfoyle does it. And she sits here every night
with her oiled up legs?
Yes, and does that. Yes.
Well, she works it.
She works it, but I think she enjoys it.
It sounds like the Gam Cam thing was not was involuntary. You know, they didn't like tell people about it. They just kind of put the camera there. Unless I'm misunderstanding the
logistics. They're playing to angry white middle America men, and so that's what they do. It's sex pot news.
Did the women know the camera was there? That's my question.
And by the way, they're not the only ones that are guilty of this. There's plenty of local television stations around the country that do the same damn thing.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, pump up those boobs. We want 48 pancakes.
I was just going to say, yeah. IHOP is on the phone.
All right, I got to take a break. So let me see here. We're going to play. Let me see if you can guess the worst song.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. 10 worst songs to reach number one.
Ah.
Let me see. I'm going to play you number 10. See if you remember this.
Hey, yo, what's going on?
We're talking like Billboard Hot 100?
Yeah.
They running up on the block, you know what I'm saying? Yo, Snow, they came around looking for you the other day.
Oh.
Word, bussing.
Former. Yes. Like E Boom Boom Down.
Okay. So this is number 10.
Fox News motto.
That's Informer by Snow in 1993. Yes. That was number one for 7 weeks.
Seven weeks?
That's a long time.
Yeah.
We must have been at war.
Well, you got to think now.
I was paying attention
now,
to the charts. Is that still up there? Let's put a new song.
Think of what the worst number one song was. Okay, that's coming up. And more. And then we'll talk about, we're going to talk about sex. Of course we are.
Sure.
And more of the Late Night Late Show wrap up with Joe Tobin and Valerie Branch on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Millions of people use Rain-X, the glass treatment that makes rain magically vanish from your windshield. Wouldn't it be great if there was a product that would do that in your personal life, particularly when it comes to a massive FBI probe? Well, now there is. Introducing Brain-X from the makers of Rain-X. Just a couple of sprays from our patented discreet bottle, and your troubles are a thing of the past. Literally. Unpaid parking tickets, back rent, even blatant lies to Senate subcommittees about your personal email server, all miraculously wiped away. New Brain-X, endorsed by FBI Director James Comey. Well, he'd endorse it if he could remember it. Get Brain-X today, and what should have put you away for life, or at least torpedoed your presidential campaign, will be a real no-brainer.
Oh, well, so nothing on that. Hillary marches on. Yep. We'll just have to forget about that. Joe Tobin is my guest, and we are going to, let's take a listen here. Can you tell me who is still it's been 20 years.
We're still doing the number one.
It was a number one song, but it wasn't one of the worst ones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Believe it or not. Yes, the Hanson brothers. Believe it or not, Hanson and Mbop have been around for 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, they're all in their 30s now, but they're all still performing. Okay, nice. All right. Okay, that's enough. All right. Were you thinking about the worst songs ever that were number one?
I was.
Okay. What'd you come up with? Well, I played Informer by Snow. That was number 10. Can't Help Falling in Love, UB40 in 1993 was number one for 7 weeks.
Was Achy Breaky Heart on there, on the Hot 100?
You're close.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're close. You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone in 1979 was number one for 10 weeks.
Ouch.
My God, I was in high school, and it was just like a junior in high school or something. And I remember that they would never stop playing that song.
No,
for years.
My mom loved it, or my parents loved it.
You Light Up My Life, and then you never hear it anymore.
8675309.
Tommy Two Tone.
That was not number one.
8675309. That's Tommy Two Tone, and that's a great.
Ever number one?
Yes.
Okay. Did it make this list?
No. Number seven is Ebony and Ivory, Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder, 1982, number one for 7 weeks. That's on the list of worst songs to reach number one.
Harsh.
I think that's okay. You know, that's a pretty nice song.
Here's one that I agree with. Total Eclipse of the Heart, Bonnie Tyler, 1983. Okay. Number one for 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's painful.
Well, that goes a long way, yeah. Jim Steinman.
It was 6 minutes and 53 seconds.
Oh, I know, that's Jim Steinman. Like, he wants to be a Broadway. The guy that wrote, like, the Meatloaf record. Yeah. He wanted to be, like, a big Broadway.
Funny that you should mention that. That's coming up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's number five. I'd do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
1993.
So Jim Steinman now, two. Two for 10. And counting.
Number one for 5 weeks.
Oof.
The great thing about Total Eclipse of the Heart was a 6:53 time, so I could go out and smoke a joint during that record.
You would play the whole thing? The whole 7 minutes?
Oh, of course. I'd go outside and get stoned and come back. All right. I was a night jock. That's what we did, people.
All right.
You had no idea.
Simon, five. Right, what
okay.
else?
Meatloaf. Okay, number four. I'm going to play some of these.
You're queuing it up? Okay.
Yeah. This was number one for 14 weeks.
Man.
14 weeks.
A wedding reception?
The Macarena.
It was a wedding reception.
So are you friends with the bride or the groom?
Los Del Rio.
What happens during this?
1996. It's just crazy. And it was number one for 14 weeks, and it just wouldn't stop.
I really feel like I'm at a wedding.
Did you do the Macarena?
No.
Oh, I was in San Antonio.
Because I could actually dance. I didn't have to do that.
Oh, throwing it down. Throwing the gauntlet down.
Dance major, baby.
Yeah?
Line dancing.
Remember, it was just two old guys. Those two old guys in the middle there.
Two old guys in suits, like a little.
That's it.
Drex's little head bop dance is really.
I like it because
all you need to be a pop star in Mexico is to be old dude and just own a suit.
Man,
buy a suit and just start dancing slowly, and that's it, man.
Well, you know.
I mean, those two guys. Great, man. I don't know how
history was made.
I'm sure San Antonio is still playing it. Number three is, and I don't remember this, it was number one for 5 weeks, Bad Day by Daniel Paltrow.
Oh,
let me see. Let me see if I remember.
Oh, don't do it. Oh, God, no.
Oh, pick a different note.
It gets worse.
Tell me your life's been way off.
Watching the video?
Yeah.
The video is even worse. With the hat, it's a
I remember it now.
So bad.
This
video is terrible. The video has like two gorgeous, successful white people trying to look sad because something white happened to them. It's
something white happened to them. Yeah. Like their latte didn't turn
it's
out
like
right.
Sitting by, yeah, it's so bad. It's so bad. It's insulting on multiple levels.
Well, it was 2006, so I was very busy being number one in Chicago doing a talk show.
Self-promotion.
Well, that was a good day.
That was a good day. All right, number two, let's come back to the Bay.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. is it We Built This City?
Yay!
Is it really?
Yes.
Man, I like that song. Gets so much hate.
I know.
I like that. Play it. I'm like, yes. We built this
city on rock and 1985. It was number one for 4 weeks.
Yes, 4 good weeks.
Jefferson Airplane.
What is that?
Starship.
Oh, okay.
Starship. Yeah, that's like two.
Jefferson Hovercraft.
No, Jefferson.
There was a lawsuit. Just Starship.
There was a lawsuit. They got rid of the Jefferson.
Yeah,
really?
They weren't
allowed to have Jefferson.
They didn't get along.
Yeah.
I was here
there
for
was
all
some
of
arguments.
That. Yeah, I was at KSJO. Grace Slick did not get along with
Jefferson?
Paul Kantner.
Yeah. Not get along.
So, yeah, she stuck around, and Mickey Thomas, I believe his name is.
I don't know, but I loved Grace Slick.
She's great.
As I knew her, I mean, because we would hang. I was just a kid, so they'd be playing at the Cow Palace, and she'd let me backstage, and I was just a young kid, and I could hang with her, and I just thought I was in heaven.
I'm in awe.
At the North Beach Fest, a couple years ago, I live in North Beach, right? And you can hear the bands playing in the park, and I'm at home, and I hear this band, and they're playing that song, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, right? That Starship song.
Oh, yeah,
song.
That's a great song, too.
And I'm hearing the guy singing, and I'm like, man, that guy really sounds like Mickey Thomas. I'm going to go check it out. And it was. It was actual. They got Starship to come down to the North Beach Festival. It was great.
So we're going to say that we disagree with this because I don't think it is one of the worst songs to reach number one.
I think we could find some worse songs to replace.
Right. So the number one song, the worst song ever to reach number one, it was number one for 4 weeks, and it is We Are the World.
Kind of a low blow there. I mean, it might not be the.
I liked it.
But I mean, just you know,
we over
trying to do some good.
I mean,
yeah, it's
us radio guys overplayed it, but
sure.
I loved it.
Even now I'm swaying to it. You know?
No. So
can we talk?
Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Let's talk about Lionel Richie for a minute, because he co-wrote this song. This dude like was on a period of like. In
Hello,
like three or
is
four
it
years,
me you're looking for?
Just nothing but number one hits, man. Nothing but hits. That's the best. Is this the remix?
We
Are the World?
I don't know.
Remix?
I just know that when this music is playing and I'm in a club, I'm rolling by then. So.
I'm just waiting for the beat to drop.
Gangnam Style.
Oh, there's the beat. Yeah.
Gangnam Style.
That should be there.
That reached number one, actually? I mean,
it did.
It is. Like, I know it.
I would say that's one of my least favorite number ones.
Oh, it was so fun for 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
It's true.
Exactly.
It's true.
All right. I've got to take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Late Night Late Show wrap up with. Let me see. Joe Tobin. Tobin Mike Knight is an evening of comedy and music Wednesday, July 20th at Doc's Lab in North Beach. Tickets are $8. You can go to TobinMikeKnight.com, M-I-C, TobinMikeKnight.com, and check it out. All right, let's take a look at traffic. Here's Lee Graham. Tommy Two Tone, everybody.
Hey! 8675309.
You're listening to the Trex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Dude, I remember when this song came out, people were like talking about, oh, I know a person actually has that phone number.
I had to do my disc jockey voice there and talk that up. I love talking up records. You know, you can just feel it, Joe Tobin.
It's a lost art. It was pretty good.
It is a lost art. Yeah.
Oh. And like the good ones would like maybe just like talk. They knew when the vocals would start.
Absolutely, that's what
we're
talking about.
Talk a little bit, you know, when the music's playing, and then here we go.
I nailed it all the time.
Yeah,
I was a night job, man. I was in all the big cities. I was in Dallas and Philadelphia, Detroit.
Yeah, awesome. I miss that, man. I mean, you probably could speak to it more, but like, there's
sure.
It's all so like packaged and, you know.
Well, yeah, it's still formula, and it's still pretty much the same formula that it was, but, you know, radio was such a significant thing then that it really mattered.
I feel like there were more, like, the people had more personalities than they, you know, they're allowed to have now. But
well, that's when corporate radio came around, and they decided that those people made too much money, so then they got rid of them, and then the whole art of voice tracking came around, where everything that you're listening to was recorded by some guy in Chicago, but it's playing all across the United States, and you think that they're in San Francisco, but they're not. They're sitting somewhere in Chicago, and it took the guy 15 minutes to voice track 4 hours.
Hey, how about that local baseball team?
Yep. And then, what the great thing is now, if anybody who's left who is a personality, you can bank.
Oh, it's a
losing
dare,
my
dude.
Religion. Oh, yeah. Here we go. It's 9:35 now on the Drex Radio Show with Joe Tobin and REM. You're listening to KGO 810.
Nice. That was good. I like that dare back there. Good. Talk it up.
Talk it up. Talk it up. Okay. Let me see. I had some other crazy crap. So let's talk about marriage. Did you have sex on your honeymoon?
I've never been married, so yeah. I couldn't tell you.
Me neither. So no.
Oh.
This is like an existential question. I don't know.
Well,
talk it up.
Theoretically, I would have.
Talk it up.
I thought that you did. I thought you were married. Okay. Well, it turns out 52% of couples don't have sex on their wedding night.
I believe
Didn't
that. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. They're usually way past that by the time they get married or very drunk for the night before.
Right. Yeah. You wait until the next morning. That's number seven. You felt like
the
day should
morning.
Be
That's
about love,
best.
Not sex. You got into a
really?
Fight. It's number
what?
Five. You'd rather spend the time with all your family and friends who were in from out of town.
Is exhaustion on there? Like, it's just an exhausting
day,
right?
Number
yeah.
one is okay, number yeah. one is you're exhausted.
I missed you saying that.
There wasn't enough incentive. Enough incentive. You'd already had sex with each other plenty of times before, and there was no burning urge to do it. That's like Sierra and Russell Wilson just got married.
Oh,
you remember
I heard about that.
Player?
Sure,
yes,
sure.
They promised that they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, he promised.
Yeah, so they didn't, but they got married. I think they got married this week. So now they be doing it. Speaking of be doing it, Scott Disick, Kardashian, that clan.
Oh, I knew that we would not make it through a whole one.
Vitamin K. We got to get the Kardashian.
It's time for vitamin K.
I love this story. So Scott Disick is the human embodiment of saying nice guys finish last. He has nothing less than, I mean, this guy's been a complete douchebag, and yet he still jets around the world and parties with some of the hottest women on the planet. I tell you. So now this is according to Radar Online. Scott bragged to his friends that he's nailed every single Kardashian and Jenner's sister, except for Kim.
Robert as he's, well?
Ha ha! Now there's a sex tape we'd like to see dropped.
Right? Yeah.
How far does he go? Must be fun at Thanksgiving.
That would be fun. So
all those turkeys getting stuffed.
Oh!
Oh my God!
Well, that's what you do.
Let's do the math on this. That means, in addition to his actual girlfriend Courtney, who he's had kids with, he's also done Khloe, Kylie, Kendall, and he thinks he could have made it with Mama Bear you know, in her bed too, Kris Jenner, because he even boasted that he could have slept with Kris Jenner because if he wanted to, because she gets a couple of glasses of wine in her, she's like an octopus with him. And if you watch the Kardashians, she's always taking his side.
Ooh, well,
it's really creepy. I mean, if Scott Disick slept with Kylie and Kendall, that's
are we taking his word on it, or is there a second source?
Radar Online.
Radar Online. Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
We're gonna take it.
Well, that sounds like Brian Williams. Sounds highly reputable.
So,
if it's a radar, it's got to be
Radar Online.
Yeah, it's got to be a reputable. I mean, what says truth himself, like online? That's just synonymous with truth.
He calls himself the Lord, so
he does.
Yes, that's his.
Wait, that is not Mama Bear.
You're gonna make me. Let me play this again. For those who just tuned in, poor Brian Williams.
So good.
Yeah, he's not the network news guy anymore.
Best and story he ever broke.
Lester Holt does such a great job, and I love Lester Holt. But, you know, Brian Williams was demoted for lying and all that crap to MSNBC.
Like a lot, right? And he lied kind of a lot, didn't he, as I recall?
I know, but, you know, if he were to come back on the network now, no one would even remember what it was
about. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
They wouldn't. Okay, so here he is on lowly MSNBC, talking about Hillary Clinton.
That's where NBC's Andrea Mitchell is standing by. Andrea? All right. Here's what has just happened. That is indeed Hall & Oates and not Andrea Mitchell.
Here's
what is plugged into the sound system in the room. Let's go across the state I'm being told we're going to try Andrea Mitchell again. Andrea? Again, Hall & Oates. Let's go to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Like I said, I would just quit. That's it.
That's good.
Yeah.
He talked it up a little bit. You know, he could have done. He needs a little bit of polishing on his talking up technique.
Oh my God! 10 most overrated tourist spots in America.
Oh, okay.
You want to pick the biggest one?
Right down the street?
That one is not on there.
It's not. Oh, no, okay. Actually, it should be on there.
Oh, no, wait a second. It is. We're close anyway. So, the Magnificent Mile in Chicago.
That's number 10. Rushmore? Is that on there?
That's number one.
No kidding.
Woo! All right. For the win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear. I've never been, but I hear you get there and it's like really, just really tiny. It's like underwhelming.
Did you know behind Lincoln's head, there's a secret vault and a room back there.
That's where they store documents.
Yeah, there's stuff stored back there.
What type of documents?
We don't know.
Oh, please. I don't believe that.
Well, I believe it.
Yeah, it was on Radar Online.
Okay, well, then I believe it.
Scott Disick did every head up there.
Scott Disick. He's like, dude, I could sleep with all four of those Stonehead presidents.
Disick keeps slipping.
All right, number nine, overrated tourist spots, the Alamo in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
It's
a bunch of posts to the ground.
No.
It's more than that.
Sacred, but love to San Antonio.
The St. Louis Arch, is that on there? Does that even count as a tourist?
No. You just look at that and keep going.
That's what I'm thinking. It doesn't count as a tourist attraction.
It doesn't really. I know you can go up in it, but why bother?
It only counts if you actually turn the car off.
Okay. Beale Street in Memphis.
Okay.
Space Needle in Seattle.
Mm.
Oh, God. The Mall of America in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
No.
That would only be a tourist destination.
Now, I'm surprised at this. The overrated tourist spots in America.
Statue
of Liberty is number 5.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
I'm with you on the French Quarter.
Number 4 is Lombard Street right here. World's most crooked street.
Jeez. That's number 4?
Yeah. One of our guys from KFOG just moved in, and he moved into the top of Lombard Street. Well, because you know there's no place to live here, so that's the only place he could find an apartment. And he thought, oh, my God, this is going to be great. But those damn tourists.
Yeah, nonstop.
Nonstop. Yeah. I said, well, dude.
Yeah. Settle in.
Don't worry. When your lease is up in 6 months, they'll raise your rent $5,000, and you'll have to move anyway. Let me see. Number three is the Hollywood Walk of Fame in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, God, that's a joke.
Number 2 is the Empire State Building in New York. Well, I think that's a must. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you want to go up there. I enjoyed it.
If I was in New York, I'd go up. Or I'd look at it.
Did you believe the part where if you drop a penny, it could kill someone? It could kill someone?
I believed that when I was a kid.
Yeah. They always said that if you drop a penny.
No Bourbon Street? Like, I love the French Quarter, but the Bourbon Street is kind of like the Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah.
There's that one strip where...
In the summer, it's pretty smelly. It's just like,
you know, but aren't we all?
Horse is like, well, they got the horses and the, yeah.
Okay. So Mount Rushmore is number one.
All right. I'm pretty happy about that. How many of those have you been to?
I've never been to Mount Rushmore, but I'm looking for the information on the secret room.
Oh, yeah? That's the thing? All right.
I told you it was, so
totally
it is.
I totally believe it. No, I believe
okay.
It.
So
it was on Radar Online.
I totally believe it.
Let's take a look here. Sculpture of Abraham Jefferson, Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln contains a secret chamber very few people know about. No, it's for real. Yep, behind the head of Abraham Lincoln and was designed to serve as a hall of records to tell the complete story of the United States history. During its construction from 27 to 41, the sculptor who designed the monument had planned to create a much larger image to accompany the four faces poking out from the granite. But, yeah, it's still there. So what they have in there, I have no idea. Hey, I got to take a break. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about, because I feel bad, I have Dr. McNeil coming up here next to talk about Zika here in California because we had to bump him last night. So, Joe Tobin, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much, man.
It's time to take a look at traffic now with Lee Graham.
KGO 810 traffic. 810.
Good evening, and thank you for listening. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. Now, plenty of people have been talking about Zika, but we're going to talk about it with the man. His name is Donald McNeil Jr., and actually, he wrote a book, Zika, the Emerging Epidemic. Thank you very much for joining me, Donald. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, well,
this is my hometown, you know.
Oh, well, I hope there's no Zika mosquitoes out here. What are the chances? Because people want to know.
I gather that the CDC has figured out that there are some Aedes aegypti mosquitoes in the Central Valley, but there's none in San Francisco. And, you know, the climate out there is not exactly mosquito friendly, especially for tropical mosquitoes. So I think you're safe.
Right. And we're very concerned. I know that the whole country is. And the microcephaly is just a severe form of brain damage that usually means when a mother has a child with microcephaly, what happens to the child?
Well, it has already happened. I mean, unfortunately, microcephaly, just a small head, is the outward symptom of, you know, a terribly shrunken brain. The child may die in the womb. The child may die in the first week of life. They're often suffering, you know, one seizure after another. Sometimes the heads are malformed so they can't breathe properly. They can't eat. They may be unable to untwist their arms and legs. And even if it's a, you know, quote, minor case, they might have severe disabilities all their life, maybe blind, maybe deaf, may never be able to walk or control their bowels or a lot of other things.
Now, so I know we tried. We tried to get a bill through Congress to spend a lot of money on this, and it seems that got stalled. So we're kind of on our own at this point. How can we prevent ourselves, even out here in California, from being infected or just be precautionary?
Well, I mean, right now, the virus is not in any mosquitoes in California. There are Aedes aegypti mosquitoes in California. Los Angeles is one of the places that the CDC is concentrating on as a possible place for transmission because the mosquitoes that can carry it are there and because there's a lot of transfer of people back and forth between countries that have the virus and Los Angeles.
Right.
Biggest threat is, you know, don't go any place where there's transmission.
Los Angeles can hear us at night, so you know, be on the lookout. One of the things that I'm very curious about, and this has been talked about a lot, is that Zika can be sexually transmitted. Can you speak to that?
It has been shown in 10 different countries where they don't have mosquito transmission going on. There have been cases, and it's, you know, where travelers who've been to Brazil or have been to Puerto Rico or someplace have come back and passed it to their partners. Thus far, in all the published cases, it's been men to women, except in one case in Texas, where it's man to a man. Haven't been any recorded cases of woman to a man, but it's theoretically possible, some scientists think.
All right. When a man contracts Zika, what happens to the man? Does he have any symptoms?
Well, 80% of the people who get the disease, whether they're men or women, don't get any symptoms.
Symptoms.
And when they do, it's generally a mild disease. You know, it's usually a fever, a low-grade fever, you know, 102 or below, a rash. You get this rash on your body that's not like a chickenpox rash with pustules. It's more like a hives rash. It's red and bumpy. You can get bloodshot eyes and often aches and pains and pain behind your eyes, sensitivity to light, things like that. But it usually goes away. I mean, almost nobody's ever hospitalized with it. It usually goes away in a week to 10 days, and you're fine. But if you're a pregnant woman, the consequences for your baby can be fatal or totally devastating.
For sure. And then if you don't know if your husband has it or has contracted it, it kind of compounds itself, I would think. And then my next question is, if the husband, can a man go to a hospital or a doctor and be tested for Zika?
Generally, they're not doing that's becoming more common as tests become more common and easier to do. I mean, in the beginning, the testing was all done on pregnant women. And now as more laboratories, more major laboratories get the test, testing is spreading out a little bit. So I don't know what the situation is in California right now. In the beginning, it wasn't possible, but now it's becoming possible. Yeah, men are definitely being tested for Zika. Whether or not you come back and say, gee, I've just been to Mexico, I want to be tested for Zika, your doctor may say, look, the state laboratory is not going to do it because we need to test all the pregnant women first.
Right, I understand. But if a man goes to South America or Mexico or any place where there is the Zika virus, how long would you recommend that he does not have sex with his partner?
Well, it's not me that's recommending it. I mean, I'm not a doctor, I'm a journalist. But the CDC says if he has symptoms, he should wait 6 months before having unprotected sex with a partner. Now, if the partner is pregnant, then they should wait the entire length of the pregnancy. If there are no symptoms, the advice was 8 weeks. But now that there have been cases of passage, even from men with no symptoms, I suspect that they will eventually make that all 6 months if they haven't done that already.
Right. And when we're talking about sexually transmitted, we're talking oral sex and intercourse. Am I correct?
Well, we're talking vaginal sex, definitely.
Okay.
Anal sex, definitely, because it's been passed from a man to a man. There's one case where it may have been passed by oral sex because there wasn't any other obvious explanation. That's led them to say it's a possibility, but they don't feel they've got definitive proof of that yet. Well, but for caution's sake, they're saying avoid all sex that involves, you know, contact between semen and mucous membranes, which is vagina, anus, and mouth.
Well, that's good information. And now everybody is afraid to go to Rio. Justifiably so or overblown?
The WHO and the CDC feel that, you know, everybody being afraid is overblown. They said the Olympics should go on. They definitely say that pregnant women should not go to Rio.
For sure.
They say that anybody who's, you know, whether as an athlete or as a spectator or as a journalist or anything else, they say that any man whose wife is pregnant or girlfriend is pregnant or was trying to get someone pregnant has to be extremely careful when they come back because they may have a case and they may transmit it to their wife.
Right. Our very own Steph Curry, who plays for the Warriors, has decided not to go. I mean, he talked about injuries to his knee and his ankle, and I understand that. But, I mean, taking a look at the big picture, he wants to continue to have more children, so I understand. Go ahead.
Is he really in that much danger of not having – is he having children right now? I mean, some of the athletes that are saying they don't want to go, you know, I was sort of expecting the track and field athletes and the beach volleyball athletes to be the first ones to say, hey, it's too dangerous for me because I have to do my sport outdoors in very little clothes. But it's, you know, you're not that much risk inside a basketball arena. I mean, how many times do you get bitten by a mosquito inside a basketball arena?
Sure, Michael Phelps is going. I mean, all the swimmers are going, that's for sure. All right.
They're not getting bit underwater, that's for sure.
Yes, in the natatorium would be a place to be.
Right.
Without,
I mean, there's always a risk outside, of course, for everybody. But when it's the golfers and the basketball players who could possibly earn millions of dollars by staying away from the Olympics and who really don't want to get injured, I sometimes wonder what's really going on here. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, I heard the story of some of the golfers not going, and I scratch my head, too. Well, this is very interesting. Donald G. McNeil is the author of Zika, The Emerging Epidemic. Everything you need to know about it and more is in there. I appreciate you talking to us, and we'll look for the games, and we'll enjoy them. And I thank you very much.
Good. Thank you.
All right, stand by. The John Batchelor Show is coming up next on KGO 810.